November 15th. What is today? 12th. The 12th of Elul. Okay, and there is a pasuk. This is kind of a thought that came as we go through this parsha. I guess it is. It is actually somewhat quoted lahalacha, and that is the pasuk pasuk hey, where Hashem says parakil pasuk hey vayomer al tikrav halom. Right, don't come closer. Right, sha'al na'alecha mi'al raglecha. You have to remove your feet from remove your shoes from your feet. Why? Ki yamakum asher atah umed alav ad maskod deshugla. So the place that you are standing is holy ground. So is that quoted lahalacha? So it actually is. It's quoted at the very end of Maseches Brachos, daf samach beiz amid beiz. Mikan amru aser lirkot bahar abayis. That it is prohibited to spit on the har abayis, kavach chomer minal. As we learn out a kavach chomer from shoes. What does it mean? Ma umami nal she'ein bo derech bizayon amrator shal na'alecha mi'al raglecha, that just as shoes which are not considered bizayon, are not considered degrading, the Torah says remove your shoes from your feet, rikika she derech bizayon lo kol shekein. So spitting you certainly should do. What in the world is going on there? So that is the Gemara at the end of Brachos is discussing things that are permitted and not permitted in shul, and it makes that comparison. That says that in the Beis HaMikdash, what we just read was only in the Beis HaMikdash. It just says you're not allowed to wear shoes. You're also not allowed to spit. However, in a shul, you're actually allowed to do both. You're allowed to wear shoes. That's what the way the Gemara learns it out. In the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to wear shoes and you're not allowed to spit. And in the shul where you are permitted to wear shoes. So you're also then going to be allowed to spit. So then the Gemara turns around and says, why, but what about, you're not allowed to make it a kampandria, you're not allowed to make it a shortcut, you're not allowed to use the shul as a shortcut. Maybe you should learn from there that you're not allowed to do this either. So the Gemara actually concludes at the end, well, Ela amarava ki beso, that how do we actually learn out the halachos of a beis hakneses? So Rava says, it's like your house. Ma besa, just as in one's own, a kapandria, kapit inish, arakiko mina, lo kapit inish. One minds, if someone just walks through my house in the middle of the day and says, hi, I'm just walking through, don't mind me, right? So that would be problematic. Af besak nasa, so too when it comes to a shul, kapandri hu da aser. Sorry, but if somebody would spit or they would wear their shoes in my house, I would be okay with that. So too in the shul, kapandri hu da aser, rikiku minal shari. Just as a kapandria, to use the shul as a shortcut is prohibited, but to spit or to wear shoes, so that would be okay. As some of you might be thinking now, there might have been that little snicker on the side there, that nowadays we don't necessarily appreciate that somebody is going to go around spitting in our house.
Or walking with shoes,
correct. So Rav Schechter has, in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, so he talks about this idea, about the halachic status of a shul, and he says that those halachos would not...
So
he talks about this. He quotes this idea from Rav Soloveitchik that there is that we have the Beis HaMikdash, is the Mikdash Gadol, and then our own shuls are considered Mikdash Ma'at. So there is a bit of a distinction between the two of them, that when it comes to going to visit the Beis HaMikdash, that is the Makom Shechina. So therefore we are visiting the Makom Shechina, and therefore we have to live according to the rules of the Shechina, the rules that are set in the place. So Hashem made the rules in those places. You're not allowed to spit here, you're not allowed to wear your shoes here, and you're not allowed to use this place as a kapandria. And there are a couple of other halachos as well. You're not allowed to carry your money belt here, and you're not allowed to carry, I think, even your staff here. And all those halachos are mentioned with regards to not coming to shul, as going to the Beis HaMikdash. However, a shul, even though a shul is patterned after the Beis HaMikdash in many different ways, it also is considered, however, the Shechina is visiting us. So if the Shekhinah is visiting us, so therefore we make the rules. That's what's meant, and therefore there might be a difference in requirements between the two places. So that's what the Gemara meant by basin. That's considered our house, and therefore we make the rules. Just as in our house, we don't mind if people spit there, we don't mind if people wear shoes, so too in a shul, we don't mind if people spit there, we don't mind if people make wear shoes.
Why would we make the rules to honor the Shekhinah who's visiting?
That's true, but that high level of requirement, the high level of Beis Hamikdash rules, such as not being able to carry, having wallets or not having pockets or not having, pockets or that, but not having those walking sticks, things like that. So those are a higher level of Kedush, and this Gemara is telling us that we don't have to. So what's that based on? We're saying, well, the Shekhinah is visiting our house, so we have to follow the official rules of etiquette that exists in our house. So both of those issues, as you pointed out, with the shoes as well as with the spitting, both of them are suspect. It is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that people would spit in shuls, and however, when you shouldn't just leave it sitting there, you're supposed to cover it up. That's discussed in Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about that. And that was one of the big arguments in New York in the earlier part of the previous century. I believe that's what when Rabbi Lichtenstein founded KJ, the big shul on the east side of Manhattan. I think that was one of the big fights that he had, was that he wanted to get rid of the spittoons that existed in most shuls, that people would generally spit in the middle of davening because of the chewing tobacco or whatever else that they had. And that was a big deal that he made. And that was one of the big fights. That was one of the big ways of differentiating between it's not really the same terminology as today, but the modern Orthodox versus the old school Europeans. That the Europeans would still allow for spittoons in shul, and the young ones, the Young Israel movement, things like that of that era, they put their foot down, I guess, and said no more spittoons are going to be permitted in shul. Another thing that Rav Soloveitchik then commented, he quotes here from Rav Soloveitchik, is that while shoes are considered derech kavod, and we're going to get to the shoes in a moment, derech kavod, the way of honoring, I mean, wearing shoes is actually considered honorable. I'll mention that we'll get to that in a moment. However, wearing galoshes are not okay. If someone would come into my house, even if I'm not makbid on them taking off their shoes, I do make them take off their rubbers or galoshes. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that halacha should hold true when it comes to shuls as well. That, and this you see people violate. You see when it snows and things like that, people come in and they wear their boots are a little more complicated because they don't have anything underneath. But to come in and just to walk around shul wearing rubbers or the plastic bags over the hat or things like that. So Rav Soloveitchik felt that those were inappropriate following these rules, because you wouldn't walk around somebody's house like that, and so too you shouldn't walk around the shuls like that. The same rules of etiquette should apply from one place to another. Now, there is a bit of an issue with regards to the shoes. I mean, this pasuk is a pasuk in Chumash that says that because it's a makom kadosh, you have to remove your shoes. And I think yesterday we learned the Ramban. The Ramban comments on that pasuk that's the rule, that when you're in a makom kadosh, that you have to take off your shoes. And the same thing by the makom hamikdash, that because of the Beis Hamikdash, that's the makom of the Shekhinah, that's the place where the Shekhinah resides. So therefore, one is required to take off your shoes. There is a bit of a problem with that, though, based on a Gemara in Meseches Chagiga. Gemara Meseches Chagiga has to do with Kachim, and then there's a section in the middle of it where it discusses things like the Maisa Merkava and things having to do with angels and how the angels interact with each other. And it's a difficult couple of dafim to learn. There are some interesting things that come out from that actually are halacha l'maisa. This is one of them. There's a Gemara that discusses the Gemara is discussing that the wings, that during the time, I think after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, where was it? Yeah, I think after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so the wings of the various angels became smaller. And therefore the wings of the chayos, when we talk about in Davni, the chayos yisharenu, right? So those chayos were reduced. So the Gemara says, which of the wings were reduced? So Amar of Chananel, Amar Rav, Ostan Sha'omros Shira Behem, the ones which they used to sing song. Ksiv Hachab, as it says, that Vishtain Yofefa Karazel Zevi Amar, that two of them would fly, and one would call the other and say, Kadosh, Uksiv, and then it says later on, you cast your eyes upon it and it's gone. Meaning that the idea of going and singing, that doesn't exist. The Rabbanans say, however, no. Ostan Shemechasus Behem Raglehem, that the wings that were missing were those that covered the legs. But it says, "V'raglechem regel yishara," their legs were a straight leg, referring to the angels, which is why, by the way, we say kedusha with our feet together. They had one straight leg, or it was kept. Their feet were kept together, and by when we say kedusha, we're imitating the angels. Those are the kadosh, 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 and baruch kavod. Those are things that angels did. So. However, now if not for the fact that so he comments that their legs were a straight leg, was one straight leg. So the Gemara comments, now it used to be that the wings were covering the legs. So if the wings weren't reduced, how would we be able to see the leg? So we see from here that the legs were reduced. Right? That the wings that covered the legs were reduced. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, Dilma di Gali v'chazile. Maybe Yecheskel, when he's having this prophecy, he saw it, and then they covered it up again. Right? The Elote Mahachi, because it says that he saw their faces. How could he have seen their faces? Their faces were covered. So, Hachinami Dimot, El De Igle Vachazile, rather they uncovered. Hachinami De Igle Vachazile. Then it was revealed, and then he saw it, and then they got covered up again. So, Gemara says, no. It might be that the face might have been uncovered and covered again. You could see the face. But Hachi Hashta, really? Bishlama api orach ar legaloi kami rabbi. I understand with the face it's proper etiquette that when you appear in front of the master you uncover your face. But kare lav orach ar legaloi kami rabbi. But it's not proper etiquette to uncover one's legs in front of the master. One is not supposed to have their legs revealed, and consequently one is not supposed to have their shoes, their feet revealed. So that perhaps is a source for wearing shoes. So what's going on here? On one hand, Moshe is being told to take off his shoes because he's standing on holy ground, but yet we have a Gemara in Chagiga that seems to indicate that when a man appears in front of his master, they're not supposed to have their legs uncovered. So which one is it? Is it considered kavod to wear the shoes, or is it considered kavod to not wear the shoes? So the Torah Tamima commenting on that Gemara, I think the Torah Tamima doesn't actually quote that Gemara, the Gemara in Chagiga, but the Torah Tamima in his comments on that Gemara that we quoted before from the Gemara in Brachos, see, he comments that from here we learn the prohibition of you're not allowed to wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash, and then he quotes from the Rambam that the Rambam says that everything is based on the Minhag HaMedina. However, while it's true that in the Beis HaMikdash you couldn't wear shoes, in terms of whether it's considered kavodik or non-kavodik to wear shoes, that's based on Minhag, that if the people of those places go in front of the Gadol, in front of the great people with shoes on, so then you should wear them. And if they wear them and they go in front of great people with their shoes off, so therefore they should not wear them. Lefizeh, he says, ba'artzus shesham haminug aleches yachav, in the lands where the minug is to go with shoes uncovered, mutr gamli spal yachav. So then it's permitted to daven with their with barefoot as well. He learns that from Pasuk Divrei Yamim. I tried looking, didn't know what he was referring to. That apparently it creates a switch. In Divrei Yamim, he makes mention of some kind of switch that took place. Earlier kings, it was considered mechubadik to be barefoot, and with later kings, it was considered mechubadik to not be barefoot. And then he says, "V'lchein etzlenu," similarly by us, "ba'artzos ha'marav," in the eastern lands, meaning where does the Torah Tamima live? In Lithuania. So the eastern lands means in the Sephardic lands, right? Ba'artzus Hamarav, in the western lands, meaning in Europe, Ba'atzafon, in the northern lands, right? Asur lispal yachav, which is prohibited to daven with your feet uncovered. Umashu mikdash hamitzvah lavod yachav dafka. What about in the Beis HaMikdash, where they specifically wore, when they specifically went around without their shoes on, right? That's a specific reason for. Humi shum shebimikdash aster lios davar chotzeitz beino levein hakarka kinoda. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a separate issue that one is not permitted to have a separation between the ground and their feet. That when the Kohen worked, when the Kohen did their avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to not have a separation between their feet and the ground, and that's why they were not. That's why they were going around barefoot. That is the. That's the way the Torah Tamima concludes. So when it comes to davening, so he claims davening we follow the minhag ha'makom. the minhag hamakom is how do people appear in business meetings or for important meetings or in front of important people. So in front of important people, everybody wears shoes. At least in our country, people wear shoes. So therefore, when you appear in front for an important business meeting in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should also wear shoes. But if you happen to live in a place where that's not the minhag, that people take off their shoes when greeting important people or greeting royalty, so the same halacha would apply to davening as well. So this is important. You know, when people daven, in shul, so obviously people are going to keep their shoes on. But even when it comes to davening, davening at home, davening when no one else is around, so one should have their shoes on. And then you have the additional halachos here as well. The Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch / Mishnah Berurah, and quoting these halachos, then extended to all things having to do with davening. That's what the Mishnah Berurah talks about wearing a black hat. Because nobody would ever appear in front of an Adam Chashuv without wearing a hat. So obviously during davening, you have to wear, you should wear a hat as well. To which many point out and say, okay, that might have been when the Mishnah Berurah was alive, when the Mishnah Berurah was writing the Mishnah Berurah in 1900. So yeah, that's true. Nobody would appear in public without a hat on. So therefore you should continue to wear a hat for davening. But nowadays things might be different. They say that the yeshiva world has always had major tainas on John F. Kennedy, right? There's some obvious reasons why they might have some complaints against John F. Kennedy. But one of the reasons is because he was the first president to dafka not wear a hat in his inauguration. And apparently I was told it was really cold that day, and he lahachis. He wanted to show that we're moving on and we're not keeping this old guard, and he was the first one to not wear a hat at his inauguration. So from there comes the idea that maybe one shouldn't wear a hat during davening. However, some point down, it says, what do you think the Mishnah Berurah was talking about when he said Adam Chashuv? He was talking about Adam Chashuv, I think he was talking about meeting the President of the United States. I think he was talking about meeting the King of Lithuania. He was talking about meeting Rabbanim, important Rabbanim. When you go in front of the Gadol Hador, you're not going to wear your hat? So, well, some people would say, no, I wouldn't, right? So that's where the hat debate continues to be fought out at a Yom HaZeh, whether yes or whether no, but it's based on that same halacha where he's talking about wearing shoes during davening or not to wear shoes during davening.
I have a
yes?
In the davening, if you're wearing sandals, you have to have socks on with your sandals.
Yes.
I mean, you can wear your shoes. I mean, without socks, you're still wearing shoes. Some people don't wear socks.
Right, so that din, that has become kind of a minhag. I think it is actually based on this. It's based on the Gemara and Chagiga. The Gemara and Chagiga says that it's inappropriate to have it revealed, so therefore we shouldn't wear it.
You're not really barefoot. You're talking about revealed.
Right.
Sandals, you're not barefoot.
Right.
But it's considered revealed.
That's how you would read it, yes, in order to have that chumrah, right?
Is that general in the Orthodox community? In Israel, it's not true.
Right. So with regards to the different communities, you would
right.
then fall within that Aruch HaShulchan. So within the Aruch HaShulchan, not the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm sorry, the Torah Tamima, where the Torah Tamima says it's subjective to the place that you're from. Some people, it's kavodik to wear it, some people, it's kavodik not to wear it. So in the United States, so and some would say, well, anything goes in the United States. On the other hand, you say, no, in the yeshivish world, you go into a yeshiva, no one's going to wear sandals there in American yeshivas. In Israeli yeshivas are certainly yeshivas where they would. But American yeshivas, I can't think of any where that would be done. So therefore, that's the minhag for davening as well. Yeah?
I can imagine if you go to the king, you wore shoes, and you took them off right before you met him. Because actual wearing, the transition would be critical, I think.
Okay, could
because
be.
If you're wearing, don't take them off, you're not wearing them anyway. So there's no big deal. But I think wearing shoes and taking them off in front of the king or be going into it.
I don't know. It's not that. Taking off isn't discussed. Okay. A few other issues I'd like to discuss in this matter. So number one, that section, Mishnah Berurah, where he's talking about wearing shoes or not wearing shoes during davening, he also mentions wearing a hat or not wearing a hat. He also mentions the idea of wearing jackets or not wearing jackets. So I remember when I was in.
Mishnah Berurah
mentions that. Yeah, he mentions wearing coats and not wearing coats, etc. I remember when I was in ninth grade. in MTA. Sorry, Finkelstein was my Rebbe, but it was in the class that he was teaching, and he quoted this halacha of wearing jackets for davening. He said that's why people wear jackets for davening. There was actually one of the Rebbeim, not the shir I was in, one of the other shirim, told his guys they should all wear jackets during davening, and if they don't have a blazer, they should wear their jackets. So I remember asking, I said, I don't understand. If you walk into someone's house and you don't take off your jacket, that's a lack of kavod, because that's showing that I don't really plan on staying here. It shows I don't really care that much about here. I'm really just here for a moment, then I'm going to leave. So isn't that a lack of kavod to wear a non-fancy jacket? To which he said, so you shouldn't wear a windbreaker during davening. Okay, so that's what I thought. The truth is that we kind of adopted that minhag in shul as well. That I think when I came here, it was that you had to wear a jacket, and they would have people put on windbreakers and stuff. So I kind of ceased that requirement.
We have a designated jacket.
Yes, I know. Yes, where if you happen to be 6'4 and 180 pounds, it fits perfectly. If you don't happen to be that size, so it doesn't fit so well. Yeah, that's what they said. I remember I had a friend of mine actually visiting from Phoenix who was during Avelos. I think he was during his year of Avelos. He was a chiyuv to daven, and he lived in Phoenix half the year and Israel half the year. So he happened to be passing through, and he came and he wore what he wears all the time. You know, so I'm gonna say, you're not gonna let him down for the oven when he's wearing what's considered Shabbos clothing in the shul that he davens. And so I think you have to be some pretty subjective in how you see a lot of these halachas. And you're wearing a talus anyways, yeah. Okay, so one more issue, and that is the issue of shoes for Birchas Kohanim. So why don't Kohanim wear shoes for Birchas Kohanim? Why did Kohanim take off their shoes for Birchas Kohanim? Anyone know?
From the temple.
What?
It's
a holy ground.
Shechina's there.
So you're all wrong. The Gemara tells us in the Maseches Sota, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, that even though what you're saying makes sense, the Gemara tells us that this is the reason that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana, or made a gezerah, that you shouldn't wear shoes when doing Birchas Kohanim. Why? Because we're afraid that you're going to go up there and you're going to break a strap, or maybe your shoelaces will become untied, and you're going to have to step down in order to tie them back up. And that's going to look really bad. Because if you go up as a Kohen and then you walk down before finishing Birchas Kohanim, so people are going to think that there's some problem with your Yichus, and we have many halachos are concerned about the Yichus of Kohanim, so that's actually the technical reason why we don't wear during Duchening. That also tells you that they're allowed to wear socks. Meaning if it's like the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so it seems that the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, where we talked about a separation between your feet and the ground, so it seems like you shouldn't even be allowed to wear socks. But the Kohanim, when they do their Birchas Kohanim, they do wear socks. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah comments that they should wear socks because, it's more kavodik to wear socks. We just shouldn't wear shoes. Because, in fact, the Shulchan Aruch talks about wearing shoes that don't have any straps on it and says that maybe those you could wear. What's the reason for the Gezerah wouldn't apply? Because no one will know why you're wearing shoes. Everyone will think you're not Maris. Right? Yeah. There is another idea in Shulchan Aruch that says that you shouldn't do davar matmiyim. You shouldn't do things that look weird to people. Even though al pi din, it should be okay. I remember when I was in Israel, we were learning Hilchos Muksa, and I think Rabbi Isaacson commented, he's now the Rosh Yeshiva of Maaseret, commented that technically you're allowed to lean against the car on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with leaning on a car, but you're not moving the car when you lean on it, unless you're really leaning on it. But most people, you lean on a car. So it really shouldn't be anything wrong with it, with leaning on a car and Shabbos. But the problem is, everybody's going to walk by and think that you're what are you doing? So therefore, he held that it's okay. What? And the alarm is going to go off, says. Although that's becoming less and less popular. You don't hear these car alarms anymore that are going off.
What about taking your shoes off during Shabbos?
So that's for a different reason. That's for the reason of that's for the reason of not being. Okay. Well, the reason we don't wear it is because it's comforting to wear shoes. So therefore, we feel the ground under our feet, so to speak. Yom Kippur. That's okay. Fine. Yeah. the idea of Inui, yeah. So the same thing would apply during Shiva as well. One more issue that I wasn't able to come to a conclusion on, and that is... What? That's true, but to walk around, I mean, people used to live in houses with dirt floors and with rocks and to walk around with it and stuff like that. I understand. So you're taking off your shoes, and I'm taking off for the week. The real Gezerwa's idea was not wearing it at all for the week, even though you're walking around and doing things that you normally would be wearing shoes for. The one more issue, I looked up today on the Machun HaMikdash website. So they're the ones that organize the trips around the Har HaBayis. If you want to go up to Har HaBayis, so that's one of the ways to be able to get a tour of Har HaBayis, so the Machun HaMikdash. So look at their instructions, and it's a lot to see what they said about wearing shoes on the Machun HaMikdash today. Because the Rambam actually says that all of the halachos that applied in the good old days should apply today, because there's still Kedusha there. So it says there that you should wear non-leather shoes when you go up to the Har HaBayis. And that's a little bit questionable. I thought that that's a little bit questionable, because even though you're not going ahead and doing avoda, right? It could be that the purpose of going there is to, plus it's considered in a holy place, we would take off our shoes to feel the holiness of the place. So who says that you should differentiate between wearing Crocs and wearing leather shoes? I mean, why should that difference be in existence? I mean, back in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when it said you take off your shoes kind of to designate this, even though you might be considered less covetic in terms of appearing in front of the Melech, again, in the Beis HaMikdash, God makes the rules. So you're, in a way, you're removing things that otherwise, it's not really following those rules of what's honorable and what's not honorable. It's just a rule that you have to take your shoes off. So who says that that distinction is based on whether it's leather or not leather? There's even the question raised about Yom Kippur, that maybe you really shouldn't be wearing any comfortable shoes, even if they are not leather. So, on the other hand, to walk around Har HaBayis, especially being chased at by all the Arabs and yelled at by all those women, right? It might be difficult to go without shoes at all. But I found that interesting that they make that distinction. It was unclear to me whether that really alfidin, whether that really should hold. All right, we're going to stop here.
Could they consider we're still mourning?